Hi, AfterBuzzers. You're tuning into the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz. We're currently reviewing episode 5, Untimely Resurrection. Which can sound different sometimes when I say it. Anyways, I'm Adrienne. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. It's MSADRIANSNOW. I always forget to look at the right camera. And this is my host.
And I am Emily Harlan. You can find me on Twitter at MLE Beth and on Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
All right. So this song is so loud in my ears.
It's a nice song, though.
It's a beautiful song. Yeah. But for a minute, I was just like, oh, this is an intense song. So first thoughts on the episode?
At first, I felt like the episode kind of started off a little bit slower than mm-hmm. I was anticipating, especially after what happened last week.
Yeah.
But then, sure enough, in true Outlander fashion, like, everything that happened the second half of the episode yeah. was crazy and something that I was not expecting. Yeah. And I think even last week, I remember in predictions, I remember saying, like, it's too early, I think, for Jack to come on. And yeah. then there he is. So
he was there.
I would say this episode for me was one that was kind of very unexpected, but mm-hmm. it was good. I liked it. I liked watching it.
Yeah, I liked it. I was happy to see them start, like, after everyone had been arrested. I didn't really want to, though. I read some other recap that they did kind of go into detail about Jamie being arrested in the books. I didn't want to really see that. I just, like, kind of get to the point, like, is he okay? Is he yeah. out? And so it was nice to see that DuVernay kind of came in and took care of him and Murtagh.
Yeah.
And to just see them kind of go forward very quickly with the storyline and that the prince kind of took a back seat mm-hmm. this week.
Yeah.
Not to say that I don't like that storyline. I just wanted to hear about something else.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have him reintroduced.
Right.
In
yeah.
this episode.
Yeah, I agree. And when they first showed Claire, in the beginning of the episode, talking and about the clock and yeah. saying, because Jamie isn't home or hasn't been home, I'm like, wait, what? What happened
yeah,
to him?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was nice that they kind of just very quickly explained and moved on with it. And yeah, it must be nice. I was thinking when they said, oh yeah, DuVernay just told them, you know, to let everybody go. I'm like, that must be nice to have, like, to have friends in high places, I guess, where somebody could just be like, oh, you're out of jail. Like, let's go.
Yeah, but they don't let Alex go.
Right.
Which is understandable. They do assume that he has mm-hmm. attacked and raped Mary. And so just kind of jumping off that, we see that Mary, because of everything that has happened, her father is now aware that she has been raped. Her intended fiancé is now aware that she's been raped, and she's written the letter mm-hmm. to help Alex be released so that they can get married, because mm-hmm. that's her intention. Mm-hmm. And Claire decides to come in and muck things up.
I know. And I was shocked at that.
Yeah.
You know, just when they first introduced on this episode Mary talking to Claire, you know, and
yeah.
I loved that kind of relationship with Claire, how Mary said, I feel ashamed, you
mm-hmm.
know, and
mm-hmm.
Claire went right away and said, this was not your fault.
Exactly.
You had nothing to
yeah.
feel shame about. So I really loved how they showed that, you know, just in, I feel like in the past couple episodes when they've been dealing with rape with
yeah.
a couple characters now, I feel like they handle it in a really, I want to say nice way, because it's never like a nice,
yeah.
you know, but I just like the way that their conversation, the way they talk about
yeah.
it, I think is something that the show's doing that's really good to kind of show, you know, that no, it's
yeah.
not your fault, that kind of stuff. So, and I loved how Claire said to Mary, like, good riddance, when she said, you know, now that guy's not going to marry
yeah.
me. And Claire's like, good, you know, you're
yeah,
too,
you don't want
too
nobody, committed. You don't want nobody that can't handle that anyway, even if it is part of like the times and the culture.
Yeah.
You do, she would want someone like Alex who's like, there to take care of her
right.
and still wants to marry her.
Yeah.
You know? It's not her fault. And I think that's a very good point of just, the show does a really good job of showing people in recovery from sexual
mm-hmm.
assault. And
mm-hmm.
that's not something that a lot of shows are willing to
right.
discuss or show, at least from the victim's perspective. They
mm-hmm.
show it from everyone else's perspective of like,
right.
well, what do you need? And oh, that angers me. And how can I avenge you?
Yeah.
So it's nice to see them kind of, have those conversations.
Right. And I feel like it isn't ever just like a short conversation. Like it's a drawn out thing, you know? And, and I like that because it doesn't show that it's like something that's easy to just sweep under the rug. Like this is a huge thing that's going to affect people for the rest of their lives. So I think that's, like you said, just how they handle it, I think is, you know, is really, really good to see. But yeah, the fact that Claire intervened with Mary and Alex made me kind of bummed out. I know why she did it in, in her mind, you know, because Frank, and she still cares about Frank.
But she doesn't know all the facts,
exactly.
Though. Like, she doesn't really know if, just because it says on a piece of paper that Jack is the father, that doesn't mean he's actually the father.
Exactly.
You know? I do, there was a point brought where Mary was like, well, am I pregnant? She goes, well, no, he didn't get a chance to finish. And I don't know. Well, there was two points that were brought. So there was that. And then there was the point of when Murtaugh came and spoke to Jamie about it. And he said, when they figured out who, it was like a gang. It was like a gang of aristocrats. I want to say aristocrats. and that their initiation was a maidenhead, so basically to force themselves upon a virgin. And I can't get over the fact that I thought that one of the guys looked like Captain Jack. So that's just something when we, that might tie into the fact that he was there.
I see, like, what
the
you're
next day. You know, and if it is if it's a thing to get in with this group that you have to initiate in some way, I don't know.
Maybe, I hadn't thought about that.
But he didn't finish. She was right. I don't know. There's a still a chance.
I hadn't thought about that, and it absolutely could down the line, and that's why it was so hard when Claire was intervening. You know, it's like, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, and when Alex says to Claire, like, Mary's so lucky to have a friend like you, you know, and you can see in Claire's face, she's kind of like, is she though, you know? And I thought that too. I'm like, this poor girl just went through this really, really awful thing. And she has this man that wants to marry her and wants to love her. And here's Claire not, you know, putting doubt in his mind so it doesn't happen.
And trying to get him, eventually get her to be with his brother.
And especially knowing how awful Jack is. It's like, that's what she's not wishing on Mary, but it's kind of setting up for that to happen, you know?
And I get it. She still has, like, a love for Frank. But, you know, I think she kind of, I guess, I don't know, she's the 1940s, so she doesn't have the, I guess, the same type of thoughts that we have thinking about time travel, because we, you know, grew up watching, like, sci-fi movies. But there is a thing to letting things happen the way they're supposed to happen, you know, it, and like, I don't know, I guess if it's also, if it's circular, then the whole point of her, like, going back was to ensure that he would be born in the future, because had she not been there in the past to intervene and have Jack be introduced to Mary Hawkins, then there's a chance that Frank would have never been born. So there's like that loop. And there's also the loop of, like, well, now that she's here, there's, she might be risking the fact that Frank, was going to be born if she had never come. So it's timey-wimey stuff. But sometimes I want Claire to just really think about stuff and be like, you know, maybe if I step out of things, maybe if I stop trying to control things because I have knowledge of the future, then things will go the way they went, they were supposed to go all along.
Yeah. Well, and even I remember, I don't know which episode it was, but she and Jamie were talking and something about the future changing things and how she didn't want to mess things up, or somebody didn't want to mess things up. And Jamie said, well, aren't we trying to change the future? That's what we're doing here with, you know, trying to stop the Jacobite rebellion. And and I feel like it's going to kind of like snowball with them. You know, there's these little things that are happening. Like, do I give the letter? Do I not give the letter? That's going to mess up the future. But I feel like it's just going to snowball, and it's going to be these bigger, you know, situations and life, you know, circumstances that are going to come up where it's like, did you just mess up? Yeah, exactly.
I was happy she did give the letter, because I was, I was really nervous that she was just going to leave this poor man to rot and jail for the rest of his life. And that would not have been fair, especially if it turns out that, like, the rapist was actually his brother.
Oh gosh.
But just jumping from there, Jamie ends up meeting again with Prince Charles, and he basically tells him, like, a part of getting the rebellion started was to work with Saint Germain and in terms of selling this wine, and he wants Jamie to kind of be the in-between guy, the vendor, the merchant, the wine merchant. So he has to have a drink with the Comte. And I don't know, just what were your thoughts on that? That was a weird scene. It made me almost feel like he didn't poison Claire.
That's what, And I know a couple of people have commented on, you know, YouTube saying that they got completely different vibes from the Comte of kind of his role in the story. And I like that the show is kind of keeping him still mysterious, where we don't know if he's necessarily this evil, evil guy who wants to take Claire down at any chance he gets, or if he's just kind of...
A snot.
Yeah, just a little bit different and kind of has his own way of doing things. But yeah, that I liked how that scene when he said to Jamie, you know... I have a long memory, you know, like I remember things. And Jamie said right back to him, like yes, so do I, because of the attack. And the way he responded made me think that he was not, you know, involved in anything. Involved in, exactly. It's kind of like he kind of said, like, your personal life is none of my business, you know? And so I don't know. Maybe he isn't the one poisoning and, you know, doing all these things. I don't know. I like that it's still kind of up in the air.
But sorry. Bless you. Have a cold. Yeah, that would make sense if just with the timing of Jack as well, that would make sense if he actually ended up being the person who was like behind everything. Mm-hmm. But when we did get the introduction to him, I didn't get that feeling. I didn't get the feeling that he was the one starting stuff. So I don't know, but there might be another player that we're not aware of.
Yet. Right. Yeah, maybe.
But just going off with that, with the with the Comte and having the prince take a background, we got to focus more on, before we get to the big resurrection, of the other relationships going on and the reintroduction of Annalise.
Oh, yes.
Jamie's past lover.
Yeah.
Who's definitely throwing some shade.
Yeah.
And definitely wants to get with Jamie.
I know.
So now I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I know.
Because of that last scene as well.
Yeah, and you could tell, right. And especially since last episode, how he almost, you know, he didn't cheat on Claire, but was kind of messing around with somebody else a little bit. Now it's like he's angry at Claire, and now Annalise is back in the picture. And yeah, I almost forgot about her little small point in the episode because of everything else that happened after that. But that was interesting to kind of see her come in, and you could tell that Claire was getting very annoyed with the things that she was saying, you know, and
talking about how Jamie used to be just like happier.
Yeah, and Claire ruined him.
And then she's like, but you also made him a man. And I was kind of like,
I know. I'm like, what's happening here? But so I don't think her character is going away, and I think she's going to be just another thing, person, whatever, that's threatening Claire and Jamie's relationship. Yeah. I feel like the end of last season and then all of this season has been, you know, just a constant test of Jamie and Claire's relationship. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to get any easier. You know, the way the episode ended, it's like...
Yeah, I did not expect the episode to end that way.
Me either. So,
but before we get to that, and before we get to the devil, Jamie has... well, we find out that Sandringham has fired Alex. Just because, in a way, he's been disgraced. He's now an ex-convict, so they try to. I guess is Jamie going to attempt to get Alex's job back? No.
He's
having the conversation with Sandringham about. I kind of.
Yeah, with all the horses and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, during...
Well,
when that was happening, I kind of felt like it was a lot of, like, the history and, like, political stuff coming in, that they kind of put that in the episode. But, yeah, I don't know if he was trying to get Alex his job back, or maybe tried to have... He could have been trying to get the Duke to kind of, like, give Alex, you know, like, a recommendation so that he could go somewhere and not just be kind of...
I vaguely recall him giving a small attempt at being like, well, maybe you should give him another chance or something like that.
Yeah.
Or I could be confusing it with Caption Jack. But in any case, we get to see a little bit more of just like Jamie kind of living in this like aristocratic world and looking like he's kind of enjoying himself.
Yeah.
At least with like the, you know, being able to pick the horses. And we get to see like how big of a jerk the Duke is when he's just like, I'm going to keep looking. This horse might be beautiful, but there's always better.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of like, I don't know, alluding to something else, but I could be crazy.
Yeah, probably, knowing him.
Yeah. But then we finally get to, well, I guess, you know, before we jump to that, I did want to talk a little bit about Murtagh, that small scene he had with Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We kind of referenced it a little bit, but him talking about how it made him feel in a way like, like he couldn't protect these women. He couldn't do his job, and how he felt like a failure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he said something like, you know, I let you down, you know, to Jamie. And that's like really huge for, I think, somebody to say, especially like a man at that time to kind of admit that. And I thought that Jamie handled it really well. You know, when at first he got kind of like quiet and had a stern look on his face, and I'm like, is he going to say, yeah, you did let me down, you know? But I liked how he handled it and said, you know, you were outmanned. Like, there's nothing he could have done, you know? But then just to see Murtagh just kind of have this, like, vengeance. Like, he's not going to let it go because he feels not only that it's the right thing to do, I guess, to take on these men, but also because he feels like he owes something to Jamie and owes something to Claire and Mary. So it's, I think next episode, the preview, it looks like they're kind of trying to go after these guys together. So I think that's going to be something that's coming up, is Murtagh kind of trying to fight and right his wrong that he thinks happened.
Quote unquote. It's really nice to see them. Cause sometimes on television and in life, I read an article today where a pastor basically from the South, I can't remember exactly where, I think maybe Tennessee or Kentucky, tried to say that a girl, a 13-year-old who had been raped, chose to be raped. Mm. And so sometimes when things are handled on television, you know, they could have easily made Murtagh the character where he would say, well, that's, you know, that's just a sign of the times. And
right.
And I think when we first were introduced to Murtagh, there's a possibility of that, especially when they meet Claire. Mm-hmm. There was a kind of an allusion to people wanting to just, like, rape her and, like, toss her aside. And Jamie and some other people kind of stopped and intervened and were like, no, that's not what we're about. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that kind of, like, slow transition in terms of, like, them softening Murtagh a little bit and not always being a warrior and not having this kind of emotional vulnerability to say, like, I've let you down, I've let myself down, and what they did to that poor girl, and you know, having him kind of find that resolve to be like, this is wrong, and we're gonna stop these guys. Right. It's nice to see that kind of growth in his character.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't have thought he would have done that.
Right,
last season.
Yeah, no, totally. So. Yeah, it is nice. It seems like he's kind of, I don't know if it's like France that's changing him or what, you know, because he's been so anti, like, against everything.
Yeah,
but it's nice to kind of see that character development in him, and and you can really tell that he honestly cares about you know, Claire and Jamie. I mean, obviously Jamie, you know, he's like a father figure to him, you know, but I feel like they've shown kind of his emotions and feelings as on like a friendship level grow for Claire, you know, where you can tell he really respects her,
exactly,
which is nice to see, especially because of the time and like the men and women kind of dynamic. It's nice to see that. So.
It's not just that he wants to, protect her. He has a respect for her, not only as a woman, but as a person. Mm-hmm. And so he wants the best for her by that virtue. And so another thing that we did find out, just jumping from there, is that her being called La Dame Blanche was Jamie.
Oh,
Jamie did that.
Yeah.
To stop people from being, to hold on to his manhood, which I was like, really?
I know. Really? I know. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that kind of turn, that he's the one that did it. Even Claire is like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, why would you?
So people wouldn't become like suspicious of as to why he wouldn't cheat on his wife.
Yeah. Right. Because he needs a reason.
Yeah. Because she's a sorceress. Yeah. And she could kill me.
She'll take me down if she finds out. But
I mean, that's a fair way to go about it. It's a fair way to say. I mean, if I were married and lived in some weird, bizarre world where my husband had to, like, defend his honor, I would want him to say, it's because my wife is a total badass.
Yeah.
And she will kill me.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair. You can use that as an excuse.
I do like that they kind of, put that in there, though, as like a little piece of the puzzle to finding out who these people are. You know, we saw the birthmark on the hand. That's going to come up, I'm sure, somewhere down the line. Claire's going to see somebody with it and make the connection. And now they have this La Dame Blanche so somebody that attacked was there.
Only they could have heard about it.
Exactly. Yeah, so I like how there's certain little pieces that are starting to come together so we can try to figure out who these people are.
Exactly. So that'll be like a little fun thing to see. And also how they play with her being titled La Dame Blanche, like if that comes up later.
Yeah.
So finally, Claire's walking with Annalise. Annalise being all coy and snotty with her like boobs up to here.
I know.
So I was like, whoa, okay. Wasn't expecting that. And Annalise goes, oh, there's a man that's looking at you. He seems to be quite taken with you. Mm. And I figure it's the Comte. I was like, oh, it's probably the Comte. Probably going to face off. And the music changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. You see her turn her head. And the look on her face. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, oh yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's happening. Captain Jack.
Yeah.
And I was also like in a Theraflu kind of daze as well. So I was like, oh, is this real for me? Is this real for her?
Yeah.
Like, is this really happening? This must be a dream. She must be like hallucinating.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
He was there.
I thought it was a dream too. Yeah. I thought that's what was going to happen. Yeah. And like you said, when the music changed, it's like so interesting to see how much music kind of plays a part, not only in movies, but in like TV, you know? And once she said there's a dashing man that's taken by you, I was not expecting it to be Captain Jack. I thought it was going to be either like you said, the Comte or somebody else that we'd kind of been introduced to a little bit, the prince. I don't know. I thought it was going to be somebody else that was kind of like looking at Claire for something. I was not expecting Jack. And then the music started shifting and you're like, okay, this is going to be somebody that's bad.
Yeah.
You can tell. And then when he started walking towards her, I thought for sure it's like a hallucination.
Yeah. It didn't
like
feel real.
She's thinking it's him, but then she's going to kind of blink and it's going to be somebody completely different. And yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
So.
And it was the first time I really noticed, like, sorry, my voice. Uh-oh. My voice is just going to slowly drop out as we go further. Oh, no. It was the first time I really noticed that Tobias Menzies does a completely different voice when he's Captain Jack versus when he's Frank.
Oh.
Like
it's more like a.
It's a little bit more. It's a little bit more kind of what just happened to me. So like it goes from like light and fluffy to like rough.
Yeah,
he's like almost like growls when he talks.
Yeah.
So that was a nice thing to notice. I was like, oh wow, I never really. I think we saw Frank once.
Yeah.
Last season, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. So I had forgotten about the character portrayal of that. So to see him as Frank and then to jump back into Jack.
Yeah.
That was really cool to see you.
Yeah. And I wanted to, when he was talking to Claire, I wanted to like punch him through my screen. The way that he was not letting her walk past him or move past him, you know, like that just made my skin crawl. I'm like this awful, awful man that did all these horrible things. And now he's like kind of like trapping her exactly where
he's such a little,
I know
my makes your skin. Like,
yeah.
Just like
it's
crawl.
Like, yeah, creepy.
And, just the way he said, like when Annalise mentioned Jamie, she's like, I can go get Jamie if you want. And he's like, Jamie.
Yeah. It's so creepy.
Here.
I know.
I
know. I know. Just stop talking. It. We don't want to hear you. I know. Well, I was watching too after they do this like kind of minute thing where the directors talk about like why they did certain scenes or how they kind of film certain scenes. And one thing that the crew was saying was that when they shot with the reintroduction of Captain Jack, they wanted it to feel very different than last season because they said they believe that Captain Jack got what he wanted from Jamie in the dungeon or whatever that happened. So they wanted him to kind of feel it was like a different like game that he was playing with Claire, not their typical little thing. And the way he said like fate brought us together, because at first I was thinking, okay, he knew that they were there and he's been eyeing them this whole time. Yeah. But now I don't think so. I think it really was this. He didn't know that they were there. And he's kind of like,
maybe.
What? I don't know. Just the way he said that. And it looked like he believed it. Like fate brought us together.
Yeah.
Like,
cause he came in to help his brother. Yeah. I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that he's not full of shit.
Right. But, and then that wouldn't it support the theory that he's been behind the attack on Claire. So maybe he did know and he's just pulling another game with them and trying to make them believe something and play with their minds. Just another way to kind of mess with them. So maybe.
Yeah. I feel like he kind of, I don't see how there would be a way where Alex wouldn't have in some way told Jack about this couple.
That's true.
So, I mean, maybe not. We'll see, like, what they end up doing. But with the reintroduction of him, you just, as I was reading someone else's review, and they said, like, you just realize, like, how much Saint Germain is not a threat compared to Captain Jack. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, that's true villain. Yeah. He's a true villain. Like, there's nothing redeemable about this man. He doesn't seem to really care for anything. And judging by, like, if he ends up being the one that marries Mary, then he really doesn't care for anyone. Doesn't even care for his own brother. So, having that little tete-a-tete with them was fun to see. I kind of wish Claire, like, socked him.
I know.
Just like a clean, quick slap or something.
And it seemed like she was a lot more, not bothered by the situation, but it felt like she was a lot more kind of taken back than Jamie was.
Yeah.
Like, which kind of shocked me. Like, I thought Jamie was going to walk in and see him and just almost fall over, you know? But he...
You didn't feel... I felt like when he first walked up and you saw Jack, like, grab his sword, the look on Jamie's face when he first walked up, and they're talking to the king, and the king says, oh... It's weird that you're acquainted with this man, but your husband doesn't know who he is. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And he's saying that as Jamie walks up, and the look on Jamie's face, it was just like, I know him.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm not, I want to do so many things right now.
Yeah.
I want to kill him. I want to scream. I want to behead him. It was like so many Sam Hogan. H-E-U-G-H-A-N does such a great job of going through, showing with his face all those ranges of emotions.
Right.
And not letting it seem like he's like completely, I guess, thrown off by it. Because I don't think he, now that he also knows that he's alive, he's not really thrown off by it. But I think he's like excited by it. Because now he's like, I don't have to wait any longer. You're here.
Right.
I can't wait to kill you.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Resurrect you, kill you, resurrect you, kill you. Untimely resurrection. Just linked it.
That was Captain Jack.
Captain Jack. So I see like how it might seem like he wasn't as like thrown off by it, but I think it's because he's already like decided in his mind he's going to kill him.
Right. He knows that. He knows in his head that he's going to kill Captain Jack. And I love that scene, how they showed the king, like, I don't want to say like putting down Captain Jack, but like making fun of him.
But he totally was putting him down.
Though. And I loved seeing that because I felt like we had never seen his character kind of face any sort of like, you know, scrutiny before. Not scrutiny, but like face any sort of like, you know, embarrassment, torture. Yeah. Before, you know, before last season, his character was kind of this guy that seemed larger than life because he could do whatever he wanted to whoever.
Everyone feared him. His superiors feared him.
Like, exactly.
He got away with anything he wanted to get away with.
So I loved seeing that he was just kind of in the king's hands and the king was showing no mercy to him, making fun of him, making him kneel before him.
Oh my gosh.
It was such a great moment. I'm like, I love seeing him get just a tiny, tiny taste of his own medicine.
So. I loved how, you know, the king immediately hated him.
Yeah.
Like, he walks up to him, loves Claire. He's, like, kissing Claire. Like, oh, your French is so beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. Sees Jack. Jack says something in French, and he, like, laughs in his face. Like, oh, your accent doesn't suit your French well or something like that.
And right.
Then when he tells the king, like, why he's there, to request that Alex get his job back with the Duke, he's like, well, perhaps you should beg. And I loved it. His face. They didn't cut to Claire. I really wanted to see Claire's face. They cut to Jack, they cut to Jamie, and they cut to the king. But the king, I don't know the actor who plays him, but his like smarm level is perfect.
I know.
You know, it's not entirely repellent. It's just enough to like be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like when he, like how he holds his hands and he's like, Beck. He's just like, he like looks at him like, you're going to get down on your knees now.
Yeah.
And then when he does it, he goes, oh, not now, silly. You're so literal. You English.
And I was like, yeah. Yeah. I know. I liked that they put him, you know, in a scene that was so like serious and daunting. And then they put this guy who kind of has this almost like comedic presence about him. I feel like every time we see him, it's kind of like in these like wacky situations. We're like, wait, what? What is he talking about?
So the introduction of him exactly on the toilet. And then his maiden
girl with the weird,
with the nipples out,
dress. Yeah, and then this, you know, kind of having this funny thing the first time we see Jack kind of have to bow down in front of somebody. Yeah. So I love seeing that. And I do have to say Tobias is such a fantastic actor, you know, just playing Jack and Frank both, and just the way his work, you know, on the show just anyway is just so great. But I always feel like if there's a character who's so evil and awful, but in a moment I could feel kind of like sorry for them a little bit.
Oh, you felt sorry for him?
Well, not like for him and all the things he's done, but like just the kind of embarrassment on his face. And maybe that's just me as a person. I don't like to see that. But I felt like when he kind of got down and he was so like embarrassed and kind of, I felt like, oh my gosh, I kind of felt a little sad for him. And I think that's credit to Tobias for being able to portray those emotions when playing this awful character, you know, still kind of bringing out just a little bit of like humanity, I guess, to him. But
I didn't feel that way. Yeah. I started snapping. I was like, yeah.
Get him.
Get him. But Tobias is also still a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Like, I think there was a time last season where I did have, before everything that went down with Jamie went down, where I was like, well, maybe Captain Jack has some type of redeemable quality. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is still Frank's ancestor. No. After the dungeon gone. Scene, I was like, no.
I know. Which is, and when I started feeling like a little like sad, then I'm like, wait, why am I feeling sad for him? Like, remember all these awful things he's done to so many people. But I think just in that moment, and I just, you know, kind of felt for his character. Yeah. I guess the emotion on his face was like, kind of brought that out in me. But I in no way feel sorry for anything that happens to Jack because he deserves every bad thing that comes his way.
Yeah, I mean, it's no fun to watch anyone be embarrassed.
Yeah.
I have a really weird tic where I like giggle, but it's just, it's not because I think it's funny. It's just like a way to break the tension of like, that's so embarrassing. But my first response is be like, oh God, stop this. This is awful. So anyways, we get to Jack and he's left and Jamie goes back and has words with him and like basically is like, I'm going to duel you, which is illegal in France. So they can't actually do it, but he's like resolved to do it. But finally, Claire has to confess that she needs him to hold off because if he goes and he kills Captain Jack as soon as possible, then her future past husband will never exist. And that breaks Jamie's heart.
Yeah.
Because not only does she ask him not to do it, she calls an oath on him, basically. Like, calls in a debt. Like, well, I've saved your life so many times and I'm asking for this life.
Yeah.
Of all lives.
Right. Yeah, that was a really kind of like weird scene that I didn't see coming. I didn't think it was going to go that way, especially how it ended when he said, don't touch me. Yeah. You know, I'm like, oh God, like she's done it now. Yeah. Like this is, and just the way it all played out, you know, I understand where Claire's coming from. Not just because of Frank, but because she said, you know, you'll go to jail for life if they find out and you have a baby on the way. Like you have to think about me. So I understand that where she's coming from on that. And also she has these feelings for Frank and that, but yeah, I didn't see the whole, you owe me a debt kind of thing. I thought
that was a step too far.
I thought it was a little bit like of a low position to take. You know, I know she's trying to have these things work out and she really cares about Frank, but and especially with what Jamie's been through and in the heat of the moment, it was just, you know, kind of like a volcano, I feel like, that erupted. So
yeah, it was a bit impulsive of her to one, accuse Captain Jack of being the rapist and have him arrested immediately. Mm-hmm. I, you know, up until this point, a good job, a thing that they've been doing really well between Jamie and Claire is having them plan together, discuss together. Mm-hmm. And when she decided not to do that, when she went behind his back and then confessed, I think that made it worse. I think if she had come to him and said, listen, knowing what I know, like, you can't kill this man immediately. Mm-hmm. You have to wait.
Yeah.
And this is why, can you understand that, you know, this could affect everything. It could not only just affect you, it could affect us ever meeting. I don't marry Frank in the past future and go to my honeymoon in Scotland, then I will never come here. I think she sometimes forgets to be reasonable with Jamie. And because Jamie is actually, for all of his, like, aggression, an incredibly reasonable man.
Yeah.
So she's like really hurt her marriage.
Yeah.
By asking for this.
Right. And I feel like Jamie is very reasonable, but I feel like a lot of times he does things like off the cuff too, where he lets like his passion for something get in the way and it's kind of like my way or the highway. And I feel like sometimes that's like his initial reaction. But then when Claire talks to him, then he kind of comes back down. So at first when she said she lied about that he attacked her, you know, I'm like, why would you want to add something else to him to be fired up about?
Another reason.
Know, it never ends well. Like, what are you doing that for? And then I thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, Jamie would have been like, nope, I don't care what you have to say. I'm doing this anyway. But then I thinking about the relationship, I'm like, it wouldn't have played out that way. And it was the same. Yeah. It was the same way. Even if she didn't do that and she came to him, if she was going to throw this whole you owe me a debt thing, it would have worked whether or not she said that about Jack anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't think that was smart, doing another, adding fuel to the fire.
No.
You know, and then just, like you said, I think it really did hurt their marriage. And, you know, he has a year now that he's giving her, right, before he has to kill Captain Jack. And I feel like for that whole year, it's going to be something that's on his mind, obviously, you know, every single day. And he's going to blame Claire for it.
Yeah.
If something else happens, if Jack hurts him again or somebody he loves, he's going to hold it over Claire.
Yeah.
And you know Captain Jack's not going away. You know that he's going to do something to harm somebody that Jamie loves or Jamie himself, and now he's going to resent Claire for it.
I'm a firm believer in the long con. I think the smarter position would have been to say, like, Jamie, think about all the ways you could torture this man for a year versus, like, just wanting to kill him immediately. Like, he tortured you. He didn't kill you. He tortured you for days.
Yeah.
Like, let's mess his shit up.
Right.
Like, let's just, you know, break this man down psychologically, physically, emotionally, mentally.
Right.
I just think that's a better way to go.
Yeah. I like it.
Revenge.
I think it could have been more fun.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm excited to see, like, what's going to happen and how that's going to affect things. And I hope he doesn't go to Annalise in his time of despair.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to offer a lot. Very nice rack, but like,
that's about it. I know.
I don't know what I'm about to really like.
Stay away,
care.
Jamie.
Just stay away.
Yeah.
So with that, should we go into predictions?
Sure. Prediction time.
Yeah.
And now.
Ooh, those are some new lights. Oh, there we go. TV predictions.
Just don't look at me.
I'll go. Okay, I'll start with predictions.
Right.
It seems like next episode they're all working together again and all scheming again to try to find these attackers. Mm-hmm. And but I think we're going to come back into what's happening with the Prince. Like you said, they took a week off, it seems like, a little bit.
Which is good.
Yeah, so I think it's going to come back, and I think that Claire and Jamie, for the time being, are going to kind of put Captain Jack maybe on the back burner for just a little bit till they kind of find this whatever's going on with this aristocrat gang that's, you know, doing really awful things. So I think that's going to kind of take a front seat effort. And I think Annalise is going to kind of be hovering. I'm going to call her a hoverer, I feel like, what's going to happen. So I think in next episode, that's kind of going to be the focus, is going to be this kind of like aristocrat gang that they're trying to find and take down. And and so we'll see.
I think the same. I think they're going to go after the aristocrat group. I also think that Annalise is kind of like how the little girl from last season was, the one who called Claire a witch and like got her arrested and everything.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember her name right now, but she was in love with Jamie. She was like supposed to be married to Jamie.
Leary.
Leary, yes. So I think she might kind of serve in that same capacity. I just think she might be a little bit more successful.
Yeah.
Successful? Sorry, that wasn't loud. I also think we're not going to completely let go of the Captain Jack storyline. I think in some way his storyline is going to tie into the aristocrat gang. Oh my gosh. I learned the words aristocrat and aristocrat at the same time. So they get messed up in my head. So that's what I think they're going to do next episode.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think a little bit of Saint Germain, didn't they mention something about trying to make his boat look like it has smallpox. So I think that's going to kind of come into play, too. Yeah. He's not going to be too happy.
Just, you guys.
Pick one. Just pick one and go that way.
I know. Or just, like, kill the prince or something. Like, just come on. Like, come on. Come on.
I know.
All this scheming, it just never works out in the end.
It's fun for us to watch.
It is, but I'm always afraid.
I know. It's like a ticking time bomb, I feel like, with everybody. With Jermaine, with Jack, with the aristocrats, with the prince. Like, there's just these little clocks, these little ticking time bombs.
That and by the end of the season, Claire's back in Scotland.
I know.
Into England. So, and into New York. Jeez Louise. So, anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the AfterBuzz After Show for Outlander. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you?
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at MLE Beth and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Oh, also, quick note. We will not be doing the show next Sunday. We'll be doing it on Tuesday. Sorry, both of our birthdays are next weekend. So we will be out and about celebrating getting older. Hey! So thank you guys so much. And we'll be a little bit late, but we will be here on Tuesday at 5.
Yes.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.